This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel. And we want to continue to look at Daniel and the prophecies that the Lord has given to Daniel. Today we want to look at Daniel chapter 7. And the first six chapters in Daniel are really a historical and go chronologically pretty much in the events in the order that they occurred historically. From 7 to the end of the book of Daniel, it's more dealing specifically prophetically with events that Daniel is given in dreams and that the Lord shows to Daniel. And some of these events will go out of sequence. It's no longer going chronologically from where we stopped in Daniel 6. Daniel 6 we saw was where Belshazzar had saw the handwriting on the wall, and God had condemned him, and the nation of Babylon was overtaken by the Medes and the Persians, and Belshazzar was put to death and lost the kingdom. In chapter 7, we go back, and it's going to go jumping back in time from where we left off in chapter 6. And it comes to the first year of Belshazzar's reign, and Daniel has a dream. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, the dream that Daniel had. This dream is going to be very similar to, in relation to the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and it's dealing with four kingdoms. And then a fifth, which is the kingdom of God. However, it's given from a different perspective. The perspective that was given from Nebuchadnezzar's dream was a man's perspective. And remember, it was a statue of a man. It was earthly kingdoms. It was given as to the power of these kingdoms, the glory of these kingdoms. And it was all from a human perspective. This dream, given to Daniel, deals with the same kingdoms, but it's from a heavenly perspective. And it views these kingdoms from the perspective of God, not the perspective of men. And let's just look at, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings of thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it had raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and a beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, a dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped to the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, on this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him, and said, asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. And we'll pause here and we'll look at Daniel's interpretation a little bit next week. But this morning, or rather this afternoon, I want to look at these four beasts and the Son of Man. Let's just open in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. And Lord, help us to understand the truth of your word today. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us and help us to see that everything that you have seen has happened, and the last of it is even happening as we live today. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize that you are the God who knows the beginning from the end. And Father, we do not have to fear, but our faith and hope should rest in you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, Daniel is having a dream that was similar to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, except this is from God's perspective, not man's perspective. Instead of a statue of a man with the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron, and then the iron and the clay, you have four creatures. Now, these four creatures are very interesting creatures. They're beasts, and they're wild beasts. And each one of them relates to the kingdom, to the corresponding kingdom and the statue that was given, revealed to Nebuchadnezzar. It says in verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And then he said that the sea was in great turmoil. And the winds from the four winds blew, and the sea was in turmoil. The sea, when it speaks of the sea here, it's speaking of all of the peoples of the earth. And so the earth was in great turmoil. And if you can imagine winds, how they can cause turmoil to come, and how destructive they can be. And these four winds came and they were stirring the residents of the earth, stirring the people of the earth, and causing great turmoil. And out of this turmoil comes these four creatures. Now, if you go back even further to the time of Noah, we've talked before, at the Tower of Babel, you have the beginning of these four kingdoms. You have the root of these four kingdoms. You see that back then at the Tower of Babel, Nimrod aligned himself with Satan, aligned himself with the demonic, and he desired to take control of the world, and he desired that all men would worship him, and that he would be as God on earth, and that he would be able to control all men. We know that that is exactly what's going to be happening with the last of these kingdoms when you have the Antichrist coming to power. If you look at the character of all four of these kingdoms, all four of them desired to do something very similar to what Nimrod did. We know that God did not allow it, as the people at the time of Nimrod were beginning to worship him. They were beginning to follow him. They were beginning to believe in him. And they began to build the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was not that man was attempting to somehow climb up to heaven. If you really study the Tower of Babel and get Two Babylons and look at the history of it, the Tower of Babel was an occultic worship center that was really designed to worship the demonic and Satan, and at the base of it was to be Nimrod as an earthly god. And people were beginning to do it and fall into line with this, and that's when God dispersed them with the languages and set them apart. These belief systems still remained with them, with every culture. And I've shared with you before, today you still see ziggurats all over the world that mimic what was happening in Babel at the time of Nimrod, everywhere from the pyramids in Egypt to there's a similar type structures in South America, Central America, places in Europe, all pointing back to the Tower of Babel and men remembering the worship they did. You can also see historically all these different gods from these different lands. They're all very similar to what Nimrod was proposing there. And they're also all very similar to the gods of the Babylonians, the gods of the Grecians, the gods of the Medo-Persians, and the gods of the Romans. They all stand in opposition to the Lord. Now these kingdoms stand in opposition to the Lord, but it's very interesting Daniel's vision of the first kingdom. The first kingdom that he sees is a lion with eagle's wings. A lion with eagle's wings. If you would go to archaeological digs where Babylon was today, and in Europe, they actually have the main gate of Babylon that has been dug out and has been reconstructed in Europe. And if you go into Europe, you can see that the entrance of this main gate, they've got pictures of lions with eagle's wings, because that was the symbol of Babylon. And I was listening to a pastor bring a message on this, and he said that he went to Europe and he saw this main gate that had been reconstructed by the Germans, and it said, "Do not touch," but he said he had to confess, he had to touch that lion, because he thought Daniel could have touched this, but because it came from the time of Daniel. But that was the symbol, and it showed power and strength and a kingdom that not only that could conquer a lot. But an amazing thing happened in Daniel's dream. And if you remember back to when Nebuchadnezzar, when we studying the historical account of what happened during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel's dream it says, well, let's just take a look. It says, "And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon its feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." Well, if you remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, remember he lost authority to rule his kingdom for a 7-year period as God judged him for his pride and his arrogance. And he viewed himself as God. Remember, he built a statue. Most historians and archaeologists think that probably was a statue replicating himself to be worshipped as God. And he was just filled with pride. He was a very, very gifted and talented man, but he was still a man. And he viewed himself as God. God humbled him, and God was merciful in humbling him. He made him have this disease where you could be conscious, but yet you couldn't control yourself. You acted like a wild person. And remember, he ate in the fields like an animal. His hair grew like an animal's hair. His nails grew like animal's claws. And then all of a sudden, the Lord brought him back to his senses. And when that occurred, remember the amazing thing that occurred. I really believe that Nebuchadnezzar was saved and that he acknowledged the God of Daniel as the only and true God, the great and real God. And he acknowledged him. You see this in this description of what Daniel had in his vision. He saw first the kingdom of Babylon, and it had the picture of wings, which enabled it to go out and conquer. It had the power of a lion, but all of a sudden the wings were plucked off. What happened when Nebuchadnezzar went crazy? Well, if you remember, the kingdom didn't go out and conquer anymore. He didn't go forth and conquer. There was still, the kingdom was left, and Nebuchadnezzar still had the kingdom when he was brought back to his senses, But he never had the insatiable desire to take over other people, other lands, rule them like he had. He didn't treat people the way he had once treated them. He became a different person. This lion stood up and was given the heart of a man and was given the eyes of a man, and the wings were gone. He didn't desire to conquer anymore. Instead, he now became someone that reflected Nebuchadnezzar, when I believe he came to his senses and realized God was God. And that was the picture that Daniel saw of Babylon. So we see that Babylon was transformed before Belshazzar came to power. But when Belshazzar came to power, he'd forgotten all that had happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and we saw that last week, how he became just more prideful and arrogant than Nebuchadnezzar had ever been, and violated the instruments from the tabernacle of the holy God in Israel, and was using them to have a drunken orgy with, and God judged him, and the kingdom was lost. Then we see that Daniel comes to his second vision, and behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, the second kingdom, as we saw, was the Medes and the Persians. Remember the Medes and the Persians? That was the silver chest with the two arms. The Medes and the Persians had two separate kingdoms that joined together to become one country and to become one power. The bear says it's raised up on one side. We know from history that the Medes and the Persians, when they came to power, were equal powers. But as time went on, the Persians overtook the Medes, and the Medes subsequently faded. And today, if you go even into the Middle East, you have the remnants of the Medes and the Persians, and the Medes are much, much less than the Persians. The Medes today are, the Kurds. The Kurds are the Medes today in the Middle East. The Kurds don't even have a land today of their own. They don't have the power. The Persians is the nation of Iraq today. They still are Iran, rather, I'm sorry. The Persians are the nation of Iran. They've always had their own nation. They've always had influence in the Middle East. And they still are a player in the Middle East and a thorn in the side of Israel. But we see that Daniel has this picture of a bear, and the bear raises up so one side is greater than the other. Also, a bear is much slower than a lion, especially a lion that's got wings. A bear lumbers along, but a bear does have great strength. The Medes and the Persians had great strength, but they were also, if you look historically, when they fought their battles, they tended to be much slower in their attacks. When they were fighting with Greece, one of the problems they had, as we're going to see in a second, Greece struck quickly, the Medes and the Persians moved slowly. They were very, very powerful. They had an extremely powerful navy. They had a powerful army, but they were not great at logistics, and they were not great at transferring soldiers. They would just kind of lumber along and conquer. And that's what they see. It has three ribs in its mouth. There are three countries that we know that the Medes and the Persians conquered. They conquered the Egyptians. They conquered the Egyptians. They also conquered Babylon. They conquered Babylon, Egypt, and Libya were three of the major powers that the Medes and the Persians conquered during their day of strength. And these three ribs that the bear is crunching down on would symbol that he's got them conquered. They're under his control. They're his. And those three countries did become his. However, they were never, ever able to conquer Greece. And so we see that this is the next picture that's given to him, is the bear, the Medes and the Persians. And they devoured much flesh. They had a great kingdom, but it was not as great as the kingdom that was going to follow. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, the leopard was, as you know, is that one of the slowest animals in the world? No, it's one of the fastest animals in the world. And not only was this symbolically, because it's a leopard, of being fast, but this had been a supercharged leopard. He had wings. Not only could he run fast, he could fly. What do we know about the kingdom of Greece? Well, Philip the Great had started the Macedonian kingdom, and his son Alexander took over the kingdom from his father Philip. When he took it over, it didn't no longer was a Macedonian kingdom, but the first thing he did is conquer Greece. Now, when Philip didn't really go out to conquer, but Alexander did. And Alexander conquered more territory faster than anybody else, including the Romans. The Romans conquered more territory square mile-wise, but they did not do it with the speed of Alexander. Alexander conquered everywhere from Greece all the way to the western portions of India. And he did that all in a very short period of time. He died when he was between the age of 32 and 33 years old. Some people believe he was poisoned by some of his generals. Others think that he just died of some disease. It's not really certain what caused his death. It could have very well been his generals. We see that this leopard was an unusual animal. Most leopards that I've seen only have one head. This one's got four heads. If you remember the picture of the Grecian Empire on the statue, it was the bronze, right? And it didn't have four parts to it. It was just the belly of bronze, okay? Well, the Lord gives more insight into what was going to happen with the Grecian Empire. This is years before Greece would become a power. The Medes and the Persians were not yet in control of Babylon. Yet Daniel is given a vision that the Medes and the Persians were going to conquer Babylon, one of the ribs. But not only that, he was given a picture that this leopard would have four heads. When Alexander the Great died, an interesting thing happened. He did have heirs, but they were killed. They were murdered. So he had no heirs. He had no one to take over his kingdom. He had four generals. And these four generals took over the kingdom. And they divided the kingdom up. Two of the generals were greater than the other two, but the four generals divided his kingdom when Alexander died. And they took it over. So we have the four heads of the leopard with the wings that flew, and it conquered a lot of land quickly, and then it divided it up to the four heads. So that's the picture that Daniel is given of the third empire. The fourth, and this is something that is very disturbing to him. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, a dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, this beast is something. It's indescribable. It is so powerful, it's not like anything Daniel's ever seen. It is so terrible, it's not like anything he's ever seen. And it goes forth, and it doesn't just devour, it destroys. It destroys. When it comes, it not only conquers, it destroys. If you look back at the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, they did not totally consume and destroy their adversaries. As a matter of fact, Alexander the Great would sometimes come in, and if the people would honor him, he would actually work with them. Other times he would get upset with them and kill them, but he would work with them sometimes. Nebuchadnezzar, we saw, brought his captives back in and incorporated them into Babylon. He didn't just destroy them. And the same thing with the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus had the Israelites in his captivity, and he sent them back into Israel to rebuild their nation. So they weren't concerned necessarily about totally consuming and destroying. When this last empire comes, they just consume and destroy. They don't want any of the culture left. Now, I want you to understand that this empire is the Roman Empire. And when the Romans marched, they said there was nothing that could stop their armies. They would just come and they would attack and they would just keep marching. They would just keep marching until they would just destroy you. And they had greater armament, greater tactics, greater weapons. They would just consume and destroy their adversaries. The only way that Rome ended up being destroyed was from within, from corruption of its own political leaders. But the thing is, Rome still lives today. And it still lives on. And it's always lived, even from the time that Daniel dreamed this dream, even from the time that Rome conquered Greece and became the world power that went all the way from, they ruled in Great Britain, all the way up to the Scandinavian countries in Europe, all the way along northern Africa, all the way over to where the Greeks had ruled in the Middle East. They ruled it all. And we can see aqueducts and roads and everything where you can see that they had built and did that throughout that portions, those portions of the world. But one of the things that you see about the Roman Empire is that it's not dead. And it's still alive. One of the ways in which the Roman Empire lived on is through, I believe, the Roman Catholic Church. We see a lot of it was transferred, the titles were transferred from the king or the emperor of Rome, the same titles, many of them are given to the Pope. Many of the responsibilities, the colors, a lot of it's the same. And that has become a religious arm or extension of the original Roman Empire. But the original Roman Empire is going to come back in the last days and be powerful. And it says there's going to be ten horns that come out. Now, it's interesting, there are some groups of people in the world today, the CRF, Council of Foreign, or CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations, you have the Club of Rome, you have other groups of individuals who are high power individuals who have power, money, authority, and political strength. One of the things that they're talking about is dividing the world into 10 regions, and that they can have much better control over the world and its population with 10 regions. And then you would have somebody that would be in charge of every region. Like, I don't know what the title they would give them. According to this, they're going to be kings. They will be a ruler of their region. These 10 regions of the world would be established to give the revised Roman Empire its control. You can see one of the things that the Roman Empire did is they hated God. They established, the leaders of the Roman Empire viewed themselves as God. They came against the early church. They desired to destroy the early church. And when they couldn't destroy it through persecution, then they attempted to destroy it through accommodation. And we talked a little bit about accommodation this morning, and that's exactly where they begin to infiltrate and undermine the power of the gospel. Why? Because they are the satanic power or empire that is going to be established for the last days will be this last kingdom. Now, out of this kingdom, Daniel says that there's an interesting thing. He says that there's these 10 horns, and beheld, till the thrones were cast down. Let's go back up. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up, in verse 8, among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things. So out of this 10-region confederacy with 10 rulers, there's an 11th ruler that rises up, and he starts out as just what appears to be insignificant compared to the other rulers. But he comes against three of these kingdoms. Now, you can go later on in the book of Revelation and you see that the three of these kingdoms rise up in rebellion against him, and he defeats them and he takes them over. Here we see that that's exactly similar given in Daniel's vision. That, and when he does this, he gains much greater power. And then all of a sudden is given to him the eyes of a man and the mouth of a man. Now, Daniel is seeing here what John refers to as the Antichrist in the book of Revelation and also in his letters to the church. The Antichrist is Satan's possessed man on earth that is really come to be Satan's really greatest deceiver of all, and he's coming with all the answers. And so this is this little horn that will rise up. We're going to be looking a little bit more at that next week when we get into Daniel's interpretation. So we see the 10 kingdoms, which are the leftover of the Roman Empire. Out of those will come up a little horn. He will defeat three of the kingdoms. He will take power, and then he will become this man. And this man speaks great blasphemous things. And we know that by that, he is speaking against the Lord. Now, in closing, I want you to see that Daniel said that isn't where the world's going to end. Now, as you're looking at what's happening in the world today, and you look at politicians and the power they have, in our government, we're supposed to have a representative government. We were just talking about that a little bit at noon. Yet today, it seems like our representatives don't listen to the people. They do what they want to do. They don't listen to science. They don't listen to facts. They don't do things, but they rather there's an agenda that they're going on, and it appears to be to destroy the freedoms and rights of our Constitution that have been given to us as Americans. But that only aligns itself with the power of these 10 kingdoms. They don't want individual rights. They don't want you to have freedom of conscience. They want you to follow according to their absolute rule. Well, one thing, we don't have to worry, this isn't going to last forever. And Daniel has the last portion of the vision, which is the great hope. He says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Okay? So these 10 thrones, there's coming a day where they're going to be cast down. They won't be able to stand. And he says, and the Ancient of Days did sit, and whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. Speaking of his righteousness, his holiness, his purity. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels like a burning fire. He out of him comes great judgment and truth, and error can't stand in it, and he's going to move quickly to consume and destroy these false kingdoms. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, this isn't yet speaking of the great white throne judgment. This is speaking of the judgment that's coming against the earthly kingdoms that have coming against God. In the last day, the Roman Empire will rise up, and its enemy will be the Lord. One of the things you're seeing is people who possess this mindset, even in our own country, what is one of the things they want to do? They want to re-educate anybody who's a Christian. They want to really come against anybody who would stand for the truth of God's Word or would worship the Lord. It's interesting, I heard Bill Gates give a presentation before the Pentagon back in 2003, and he said that the Gates Foundation at that time was developing viruses and nanotechnology where they could go into the brain, because he said there's a certain part of the brain where if you're a fundamentalist, a religious fundamentalist, you have eye activity in that part of the brain. Through this nanotechnology and virology, you'd be able to go in and destroy that part of the brain so you could make people so they wouldn't be religious fanatics. Now, as he was presenting this to the Pentagon, what he was talking about, and what they assumed he was talking about, was the bombers that were coming, the Muslim suicide bombers and those type of people. However, today, who do they consider religious fanatics that need to be re-educated? OEC said it. Christians and those that hold to conservative values need to be sent to re-education camps. That's what she said. The thing is, this is the ideology of the world because they're at war with God. But God is going to come and He's going to judge. And He's going to judge quickly and powerfully. And I beheld, in verse 11, then because of the voice, the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So this one who is going to be the Antichrist will be destroyed. He will be consumed and he's going to be given into the lake of fire. Verse 12, and concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And there, he's talking about the other kingdoms of the world that came out. And you see that progressively, they all were related to one another. The Romans came to the Medes and Persians, which came, turned into the Greeks, which turned into the Roman Empire. They were all tied together. He's saying they weren't all consumed immediately. The beast was, and the ten-nation confederacy. But there was a time, and then what happens? He says, and concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Who is the one that always appears in the clouds of heaven? The Lord. And who is always referring to himself as the Son of Man? The Lord Jesus Christ. He comes in before the throne of the Father. And as he comes in, this happens. And these were given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. And so God is going to destroy the remnants of the Roman Empire, the resurrection of the Roman Empire, and the Antichrist that shall head it up along with Satan. And the one who shall destroy it shall be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we see that in the book of Revelation, where it talks about that he's going to return with his 10,000s of saints, and he shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by his word and by his authority that is given to him. And so that he shall rule and reign, and it's not going to be for just a few years. It's going to be for how long? Forever and ever. And so this is the vision that Daniel's given. We're going to have a greater and more direct interpretation, which we'll look at next week, and see exactly how the interpretation he was given of this vision and how it's going to impact us even today. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this. Help us not to be worried. Help us not to be fearful. But may we realize that you are in control. You know the beginning from the end. You know the order in which these kingdoms would rise, and which these kingdoms would fall, and who they would fall to. We understand that you know this Antichrist, this blasphemous man that shall rise up and show great power because of what Satan gives him, but yet your power is greater, and you shall destroy him, and you shall judge all that would be in allegiance with him. Lord, now I pray that you would help us not to be fearful, but to be thankful, and to look for that day of your soon return. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you would turn with me to the song, What a Day That Will Be. And it is hymn 281. Thank you. 281.